I'm here with my Sunday Roast panel, Suzanne Cain, podcaster. Hi, Suzanne.
Hello there, good morning.
And Gary O'Hanlon, chef. How are you doing, Gary?
How's it going, Mario?
Are you in the Christmassy mood yet?
Absolutely.
Are you?
Oh, aye. Yeah. Since November.
It's the 8th of December.
Yeah. I love it. I just can't get enough of Christmas.
Oh,
it's not even near long enough for me.
Oh, really?
I absolutely love it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, from start to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And beyond.
Yeah. Susanna, you...
Not there yet.
Yeah, not there yet, yeah.
No, I have a Christmas tree to put up.
Today is kind of a day, isn't it? It's kind of a turning point.
Today's a day we should ultimately try
no tree up.
The 8th is traditionally a day.
Ollie, in the second week of November, was standing under the attic, and he's only turned three, so he was two last year. I said, I want Christmas tree. I'm like, what's he saying? I said to Nettie, what's he saying? He goes, he knows the Christmas tree's in the attic. That's what he wants. He wants a Christmas tree.
I was like, fake tree for Christmas.
It's coming down.
Yeah, we have a fake tree at home. It works every year, yeah.
In fairness, I have to say, I'm starting to buy into it as a crazy ma and the pine needles. I'm already dreading them. I've just had my carpets cleaned. Do you know, it's like yeah. It's like middle-aged stimulation.
Yeah,
you get your kicks where you can. Mine was getting my carpets cleaned during the week.
I used to steal trees back in the day with the oil boy. We used to creep up into these forests and cut it. And I don't even, there was that many there. I don't even think it was that bad a thing, but we just got a buzz out of the fact that we're cutting them down, you know.
Gary, let's change tone entirely, because what are you throwing into Mario's Sunday roast today?
Oh, it's the FAI. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was even on Thursday when I had seen that they were delaying the release of the accounts. It was probably what sparked the whole thing for me.
I got worried when the delayed accounts, when they said the accounts are delayed.
Well, once I saw that, I sort of had a bit of an eye roll around that time. I was throwing my thoughts together. And then, obviously, Friday just completely blew it out of the water, you know. Will it crack on?
Yeah.
Give the whole 9 yards.
So just before we start, people out there, you are a really passionate FAI. You are a passionate League of Ireland supporter.
Yeah,
I love the League of Ireland.
Yeah.
You believe in it intrinsically and completely.
I love it from junior football in Ireland right up to the League of Ireland. It's the holy grail for me. I absolutely love it. I've often, back in the day, would have hitched from Galway to Finn Park on a Saturday night or a Friday night to watch them, whatever it would be. I love it. I've always loved the league. I still love the league. I follow the league. Every team, you know what I mean? Obviously, I'm a Finn Harps man. Harps is my team. But if I'm in Dublin at the weekend, I'll go to Dalymount, or if I find myself and there's a home game, I could go to the Tallaght Stadium. Doesn't matter. I'll watch the game, but obviously. So for me, obviously, Friday was just explosive, you know what I mean? Obviously, delaying the accounts on Thursday, as I said, we were going, if someone's holding back and all the different stuff. Obviously, we knew something wasn't right, like Mark Tagg, for what he had done, fellow Donegal man. Sunday Times. He's just been unbelievable. Obviously, the whistleblowers that were there, we probably owe them a debt of gratitude for it all coming out now. Obviously, it's looking like it's over 60 million in debt. Could have been a whole lot worse. But I'm more sad than angry about the whole thing, you know what I mean? Like, football, as I say, is my life. I think back to washing pots and nearly crying. It was the night Ireland played Italy in 94. I remember Mr. Casey let me go early, so I'd be back at 4 to wash the breakfast dishes, to watch the Paul McGrath performance, Houghton's goal. Football really is my life. Like, Remelton, Swilly Rovers, the Mariners, our local teams, volunteers. You know, the amount of trainers I would have had, the amount of trainers that are everywhere. I see Tony McNamee, different people that I can still see their faces, PG Kavanagh, Stevie Cole, boys that would have, you know, the grassroots of football. And this is where the sadness for me is, you know what I mean? Because there are so many unbelievable people in the FAI, like from the coaches. Even when you look at the underage teams now, like you have Andy Reid coming back, Myler's coming back into the young teams, you know, Mohan, who would have played with Harps. Keith Andrews is there. Tom Mohan, who was a midfielder with Harps, is with the under-19s now as well. They're unbelievable people at every level. And, you know, for me, you look at the likes of Robbie Keane, Crumlin United, to Wolves, Inter, Spurs, Liverpool and beyond. Paul McGrath, Pearce Rovers, Dalkey United, Keno, Roy Keane, Rockmount, Cove Ramblers, Forest United. Like, for us to have superstars wearing the green jersey of Ireland, they start in Dalkey, they start in Remelton, they start in Salthill, Devon, wherever it may be, you know what I mean? You look at Remelton, my home club, with an academy at Swilly Rovers. Three League of Ireland captains this year. Kyle McFadden at Sligo Rovers, formerly of Norwich City, Orlando FC, played with Kaká, for God's sake. He's playing League of Ireland now, captain of Sligo. Keith Cowan, just gone to Glentoran, sadly. Finn Harps captain, absolute stalwart. Swilly Rovers man, came up through the League of Ireland and junior football there. Barry McNamee, Derry City to Cork City, back with Derry now, captain there. So my home club, volunteers, I can still see them, have pulled three League of Ireland captains out of one little tiny village in Donegal this year. You know what I mean? Then you go into the whole factor of the money and the way the organisation has been run. You know what I mean? Without delving into it, like you look at the prize money the League of Ireland gets. Like winning the League of Ireland gets you 110 grand. Finishing bottom gets you 17 grand. Winning the Scottish Premiership gets you 4.2 million. Yep. Finishing bottom gets you 1.1, just under 1.1 million. You look at the only averages in attendance in Scotland is 15,690. Now that's elevated by the fact that Celtic have 57,000 or so at every home game. Rangers have 48,000 every game. So don't tell me it's a bigger league. You have one or two clubs. But you know what? You had a Scottish FA who believed in their teams, believed in their players, believed in the whole organisation and pushed for TV deals. A 21 million TV deal there. Why haven't we had, you know, competent people? But I suppose, obviously, without delving too much into the structure of the FAI, but, you know, there was a lot of people complicit in there for a long, long time. But sadly, it had been let go on and go on and go on. But we have some unbelievable ballers in this country. Like, I'm out watching these games week in and week out. Do you know what I mean? It's incredible. You go to Daly Mount this year, like, Bowes for the first time in 7 years have gone into Europe. Like, when I was a commis chef in Le Cave on South Ann Street when I was 17, I looked out, I used to see the lights at Daly Mount.
Yeah.
Jesus, like, it was unbelievable. Pender scoring in his last game ever in 17-year career.
One of the things we forget as well is, like, soccer is the national game in this country.
It's the most participated in sport in the country, bar none. Nothing comes close. I like rugby. I love it. You can watch whatever. There was a Rugby World Cup on this year and you would have heard a pin drop. Utter not. Now, I know the times of the games didn't suit a lot of it either, so you could throw that in there. When the boys in green, or even the girls, I've been out to watch the girls as well. I mean, you look at these figures and you see the likes of Amber Bard, Stephanie Roach having to change into tracksuits and give them back in an airport toilet. Bloody disgraceful. I've been out watching these girls, Denise O'Sullivan. She could probably play in some League of Ireland team. She's unbelievable. Never mind the men. The women have suffered as well. I tell you, it makes me sick to my stomach. It really, really does, you know.
Have you been following Instagram?
Yeah, I do. You know, funny, I actually listened to Anna Geary yesterday and Jack Pearce were on and they were talking about it as well. I suppose for me, I don't come from a soccer background. I come from a GA background. But what you were saying there actually was the bit that struck with me. It's the grassroots level. And I know, coming from a club that I grew up in, they're my family. You know, we do everything as a club together. If one falls, we all fall together and everyone goes to build each other up. And these are people who are volunteers, which is very much the same within all of these clubs across Ireland, and it's an absolute disgrace. It's horrendous. You know, these clubs are all fundraising, and that's just on a grassroots level. As you said, I was going to say about the women, and as you said about women, that was myself and PJ actually talked about it on the Dublin podcast before, about, you know, women going in to, you know, to change and share tracksuits and not a set of jerseys at a, you know, a national level, and that's acceptable. And these lads are heading out having a dinner and spending basically the price of a set of jerseys on a dinner. You know, there just seems to be the lack of regard, the lack of respect. And the one thing about, like, any sport, if you love a sport or like radio, it seeps into you. You will do anything for it. I've worked in radio my whole life because I love radio. It's not the most, you know, financially great job sometimes. People think you're loaded because you do it. It's like, no, you work hard because you love it. Mm. And people working and volunteering, that's what they love.
19 years ago, I remember doing a sketch on the radio on the Ian Dempsey Breakfast Show. It was a Gift Grub sketch about that the FAI were throwing a party down in Kilkenny in a brewery, but there was a problem getting down to the brewery, and they couldn't actually get out of their bus because they had locked the bus from the inside, and so the brewery had a problem as well because they had ordered the kegs for another brewery. And the whole sketch was basically they couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery, and without saying those words, it basically going, oh my god, it's a piss up in a brewery, and they couldn't do it. That's 20 years ago.
I know.
And since then there's been FIFA, there's been UEFA, and now obviously the ongoing thing with the FAI. Gary, do you think it should be disbanded?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and completely restructured, like completely and utterly restructured. You look at Northern Ireland, right? I mean, nowhere near the size down here. I mean, we're small, but they're very, very small up there. Like, they will front load, say, Linfield or Glentoran and Cliftonville, whoever it may be. If they get into Europe, their body will front load them with money. Okay, then they get into Europe, whatever prize money they get, then the deductions will come then from the UEFA money or whatnot, right? Here, you had Dundalk waiting for a lifetime for money. Dundalk had said, what, 7 point something million there, like in 2018, whatever it was. Obviously very different. You go back to 2011, I think it was 1.5 million Shamrock Rovers would have got from a European run. It's obviously got better and better as the years have gone on. Clubs now are waiting for, like, they know the dates, they know whenever the money's coming into the FEI. It should literally just be a revolving door. If it's coming in from UEFA, it's coming in, and then it just should be going right out to the clubs. Because Cork City last year, like, having to travel, this is a time whenever the league's not really up and going. There's no money. There's no gate receipts. Clubs are having to fundraise. They're having to try and hold on to money so that they can get flights to Zagreb or wherever Cork may be playing or whoever may be playing. I'll tell you, man, I could...
It's been a pretty sad story.
I don't know how I didn't swear there, by the way, but anyway...
You did
I know,
so
you,
well.
You actually held yourself back, and I can see your eyes are kind of glazing over a little bit. You really are. It is really... Mm. You find it a really sad story. Okay, let's move on. Suzanne, what are you throwing into Marius van der Rust?
By total change, I am wondering if Ebenezer Scrooge had a point about Christmas. What do you think? So obviously not the Bob Cratchit part and being a total and utter misery, but suiting himself at Christmas, because we're just saying there, it's the 8th of December. I'm already at peak. Now, I don't have my Christmas tree up. My December is full. I'm at air traffic controller of trying to manage all the places that we need to be, where I have to do. I haven't done the big shop. There's no turkey has been ordered as of yet. And my friends are the same. We're all scheduling, you know, going, if you can take a 12:45 into a 4:42, we can go into that, and if not, maybe we can get something organized in for the January if that doesn't happen. And I kind of go, so this is Christmas, but in a year where we have so really tried to push self-care and minding yourself, and that, you know, be at one, be zen, love yourself, that maybe we should all be a bit more Ebenezer Scrooge and actually love ourselves. Because, do you know, and I don't know, maybe this is just, you know, people that I know and not necessarily my family, but that you get tied into visiting as many houses that Santa does. Like, Santa does a million houses that night. You're pretty much the same. You get tied into a tradition that Nana has, you know, from whatever amount of years ago, but Nana's 28 years dead and she's not even your Nana, and you still have to go to the same mass because Nana said you should go to this mass. No, it's okay to break tradition. It's okay to suit yourself. It's okay to not go to a toxic environment. It's okay to sit at home in your pajamas all day long, eat rubbish, have the crack, do what you want.
This is interesting because it is pointed out, the self-care and mind yourself and everything. I think it should be, we should all have a Brezzy Christmas.
What's a Brezzy Christmas?
Just mind yourself.
Magic moment.
Forget Christmas. Just mind yourself during Christmas.
It's a day.
Sit down like your turkey on a plate and just meditate. Meditate like that turkey.
Now,
sit under the tree.
As I can say that I love Christmas, and my mom has always said it's just a day. And it's only as I got older I realised. And I do know, you know, 10 years ago it was just a day, but it was just a day that I didn't know how we would get through a day, because it was the first day without my dad being there for Christmas. There's lots of people facing into that. But it is just a day that has been ruled by Nana, who died 28 years ago, and we still have to go around the Christmas tree four times backwards because Nana says that's the tradition. It's like, no, I'm okay. I'm wearing my fat pants and I'm having a good day.
But Gary's loving it.
I love it. I used to think you were good crack, Suze, you know what I mean? But, you know, I don't know. Well, then again, I'd like to say I do what I want, but if you met my nanny, I do what nanny tells me to do. Do you know what I mean? But to be fair, when it comes to Christmas, I've never really got caught up in going here or going there. Most people come to our house because I'm kind of a dab hand at the old bit of dinner and drinks.
Sure, sometimes I follow. So, Gary sends me a list of how I cook things, and I just follow it on my phone every occasion.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm a wee bit sort of with it and against it, whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, I love the whole thing. I love people going here, going there. I like the fact that people visit people. I like the fact that people go with the odd present here and there. I do like the fact that I have a financial controller, older brother, who made a decision a few years ago, say, listen, godchildren only, let's do that. Let's not be silly with money, do what it, brilliant. But, you know, when it comes to the day, look, I do go mad. I do go out there, whatever it is. But at the same time, I'll watch a bit of NFL that night, football, and I might go to mass, do whatever, because I have no interest in doing that. So I kind of
suit
myself a wee bit, but at the same time,
Suzanne,
show the love.
One of the things that I was talking to Patrick about outside was that one of the elements that that Christmas has taken on now in the day of Instagram and social media and everything is the idea that the me Christmas, the me Christmas. I mean, everything is me nowadays. So my little holiday in Wexford, here's me with my my little, my scone, my jam. Look at my jam. Look how rich my jam is. Look at me. Now Christmas has become peak me.
Yeah.
Me-mas.
Yeah.
It's me-mas now. So it's like the ultimate opportunity to go look at my baubles.
Yeah.
look at my tree, look at my family.
Look at the amount of presents we have underneath this Christmas tree. Look for the amount of time my kids have spent 4 hours opening presents.
As if this social media pressure wasn't pressurizing enough, I think Christmas is upping the ante in terms of.
But it is because it's now littered with Christmas trees. And I will say, full disclaimer, I really love Christmas. And my favourite part of Christmas is that my family come to my home and that we all have Christmas together. And I am, and without saying it, but I'm so grateful that I have that and I have a family to do that with and that we are all well and together at Christmas time. But it's the sheer pressure that not everybody experiences that, not everybody feels like that. And I think you are told you have to enjoy Christmas. And if it's not for you, mentally you can't cope with it, or there's stuff going on in your life, or you're facing into a hard thing, it is okay to mind yourself and say no, I'm breaking tradition this year.
0874100102. For those listeners out there, are you feeling under more pressure this year than normal? How's your baubles? Are you feeling under? Do people put too much pressure on you over Christmas? 0874100102. I'm here with Gary O'Hanlon and podcaster Suzanne Cain. Back after the break.
Today FM. Mario's Sunday Roast with Deliveroo, delivering you food freedom.
It's just after 11:30 on Mario's Sunday Roast. I'm here with Chef Gary O'Hanlon and podcaster Suzanne Cain. And Gary, lots of credit coming in for you. Good man, Gary. Great to see you hear such passion for the League of Ireland. I'm a chef as well and Cork City fan, working away here in the kitchen, maddened with the FAI. And another one that came in here, no name given, but anyway, just stated on live programme on Sunday at 11:30 a.m. that soccer was the national sport, to which the presenter agreed. I'm the presenter. I actually said it. I didn't agree with it. I actually mentioned it. And reiterated. Correct this statement, as this is wholly incorrect. Okay.
No, don't correct that statement.
Well, I can't
correct it.
Hang on. I can't correct it, but I also can't profess to being an absolute authority on this. I'll tell you where I got that from. I grew up all my life believing that football, namely association football, namely soccer, is the national sport of Ireland. How that's designated, I'm not quite sure, and I am open to correction. But although GAA is intrinsic to our national identity, hurling especially, and Gaelic football, I do understand that football is the national sport. And I wasn't saying that with any sense of superiority.
I would agree with you on that there. And by the way, let me make it very clear as well. I absolutely adore Gaelic football and GAA. And there's no doubt its importance. But yeah, I've grown up as well.
See, I'm the
opposite.
Football
being the national sport.
I would have always said that. Maybe it's because I have nothing to do with
Dubs.
Soccer. Dubs. Mm. Don't give me Dubs nonsense now.
Jesus.
Five in a row. Where are you? Nowhere. Anyway, but what I would have always said, I tried to ask Wikipedia there what the crack was as well, but they don't have an answer. They just say the associated football, soccer, is the most popular team pursuit.
Forget Wikipedia. Our listeners will tell us. 0874100102.
I would say GAA.
Can you enlighten us on this, please? I always grew up, I'm 49 years of age now, and all through my life I've grown up under the belief that association football, soccer, is the national sport of Ireland. But let me know. Anyway, here's what I'm putting into Mario's Sunday Roast. This is Andrew Neil.
And that concludes our fourth leaders interview for the general election of 2019. There is, of course, still one to be done. Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister. We have been asking him for weeks now to give us a date, a time, a venue. As of now, none has been forthcoming. No broadcaster can compel a politician to be interviewed. But leaders' interviews have been a key part of the BBC's primetime election coverage for decades. We do them on your behalf to scrutinise and hold to account those who would govern us. That is democracy. There is no law, no Supreme Court ruling that can force Mr. Johnson to participate in a BBC leaders' interview. But the Prime Minister of our nation will, at times, have to stand up to President Trump, President Putin, President Xi of China. So it was surely not expecting too much that he spent half an hour standing up to me.
Right, lads, that's Andrew Neil, former editor of the Sunday Times and presenter and interviewer-in-chief on BBC. He's a bit of a Rothweiler, but all the other leaders have come on and been interviewed by him. And Boris Johnson refuses to do an interview with Andrew Neil. And next Thursday, the British general election is on. And Boris Johnson, who is a proven liar, charlatan, waffler, spoofer, is 4-11 on with the bookies to be favourite. For those who don't know bookies, that's basically a racing certainty. When asked if they vote for Boris Johnson, even though they know he lies continuously, voters will say, yeah, Same as Trump. They know he lies. They're just going to vote for him. And I'm kind of at my wit's end with what we might call politics and democracy. I think it's broken. You say, well, maybe forget about Boris. Who's up against him? Well, Jeremy Corbyn. I mean, absolutely useless, completely spineless, has no position on Brexit. Doesn't even, a great article by Fintan O'Toole yesterday in the Irish Times, doesn't even want power, was never even interested in power, when the whole point of politics is to have and to implement power.
Be
hungry for power and to implement how you see your vision for the country. I did a sketch there last week in which imagined a toy show on the Late Late Show, and we had a little toy which was an interactive Boris machine. And all you have to do, it's like Siri, but all you have to do is ask Boris any question and he'll just bullshit anything. So you'll go, what time is it, Boris?
Whoa, 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 you know, time is of the essence, my friend, and we can't get there. The time will be...
And so you could just bullshit its way. And then I realised that wasn't actually... that was a sketch I wrote, but there is actually a thing going around the internet where you can actually ask Boris any question and it'll just bullshit the answer for you. So in other words, even my sketch idea was not greater than the truth.
And it wasn't meant to be reality. You didn't want it. You never wanted it to be reality. You just wanted it to be, you know, fun, whatever. And, you're buying into their mannerisms and everything else. But the worrying thing with politics the world over nowadays is people like him. I mean, the fact that he's 4-11 on. I mean, you look at Corbyn, and I suppose the biggest thing in Boris Johnson's armory is his lack of authority on anything, you know, like it's a running mate from heaven, because it's literally the worst competition you could ever have, like it's having somebody as weak as Corbyn going up against you. And again, you know, you'd argue with Trump as well, flipping over to the other side, you know, any other Democrat other than Hillary Clinton going up against him back in the day with all the bags that was coming with on the side, probably steamrolled them in, you know what I mean? So it's frightening times, politics around the world,
My team is an old team. I brought it up a few times on the show, but I just think I haven't seen it any worse than it is now. That the idea that politics is broken, that our system is broken, democracy is broken, and people go, well, what else would you do, Mario? Democracy, what else? Well, my point is, democracy is only a few hundred years old in practice. I think that we've reached a point where we've exhausted all options here.
But I like that. I like that. So how is it that you're sitting in a radio studio saying that out loud? And we look, so look, you can look at the UK all you want and you can look at America all you want, but let's just look here and where we are here now. And I know as a voter, and look, I will be honest, my politics aren't the best. When we were talking about the UK, I actually went to watch Louisa Ollamann, who is a British comedian who has Politics for Bitches. It's a stand-up show, but it's actually a very comprehensive guide through UK politics and everything that you need to know. But even down to here, when you go to vote, there's certain pockets of things that I go, well, I don't like that in Fine Gael, I don't like that in Fianna Fáil, but then the independents, I don't think I trust that, and then I don't. So I just look at the whole thing and go, this is an absolute mess. Like, it is an absolute mess. You look at every single TD that is, you know, out working, doing whatever they're doing, and yes, some at grassroots are really trying, but then we look at the bigger picture, we look at the homeless crisis that we have, like direct provision, we look at all of those. Is the chalice so poisoned that we're at a point of breaking point of like, what do we do? But you're sitting here going, okay, well, actually, we could do this. We're paying these people extortionate amounts of money to rule our country, and there's someone sitting in a radio studio has a better idea.
Well,
I'm just saying,
terminate the whole system.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you basically, people laugh at you when you say that, but we are the people. So,
but where this is constitutional, pay our tax for?
Surely a constitutional referendum could change the way we govern ourselves. And I'm talking about no prime minister. No leader, no president, no king.
A democracy, as it were.
Forget kings, forget leaders, forget prime ministers, forget vested interests, forget lobby groups. So my thing would be, look, I know I'm nuts, right?
Okay, Saddam.
My thing would be 12 people, wise people, 12 people who are trusted people in society. Call them Mary McAleese, Mary Robinson, Michael D. Higgins, Peter McVerry, people like this. Put the 12 people on a board, as it were, have a revolving chairperson, no king, no president, no leader, have them all on 80 grand a year, no vested interests, you have a revolving chairperson, they run the company in association with our civil service and our bureaucracy. Forget all this vested interests, politics, rubbish of voting people in to see what, you know, bog hole road they'll clear up.
But ultimately,
just forget it all.
Ultimately, you have to vote in the 12 as well. Do you know?
But if you, well, but see the way you're saying that, like, say the likes of Peter McVerry in there, if you had somebody who works at that, who was working in that industry at that level, and I'm not talking about, we're going back to the Minister for Health a couple of years ago, O'Reilly, but I'm talking about somebody who is, like, Peter McVerry, if you sat him down, I guarantee you the man would say, right, well, here's what we can do. Here's how we fix homelessness in this country. It's not being done. Owen Murphy's not doing anything about it, like, so.
Okay.
We need Michael O'Leary everywhere.
Well, I think that's rubbish, actually.
Really?
Yeah,
no.
Total rubbish. But anyway, I think you need nice, wise, able, decent people.
Smart individuals.
Yeah, but not ruthless, cost-cutting individuals. You know, that cliche of him running the health service has been doing the rounds for years.
No. I'd be more thinking him for my boys.
You don't need two legs. You don't need two legs. Shut up. Cut off one of his legs and leave him.
You can keep one.
Okay. Gary O'Hanlon and podcaster Suzanne Cain, thank you very much.
Thank you. Happy Christmas.
Yeah, I probably won't see you before Christmas. So happy Christmas. Yeah. And thanks for all your brilliant contributions through the year. And Gary, sorry about the FAI and all that. And Suzanne, have a brilliant Christmas.
Thank you very much.
And put the Nana on operation.
Yeah, honestly, she's a long time dead. She's not come back. She can haunt me.
Okay, let's back after this.